This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, always a pleasure.
So, for number five, what we get?
The Newark Airport, and it was trending because there is a freaking snake that they found in the airport by security. Because apparently somebody just left their snake there. You know, sometimes, like, I left my laptop one time because you got to take the laptop out of your bag. Maybe you leave your phone, maybe you leave your wallet. Like, sure, that makes sense. But do you ever leave behind your pet snake going through security? I'm not sure I've ever heard about that. And it was a 15-inch ring-necked snake. And some little girl, like, reported this to security and was like, hey, there's, like, a snake out here. You guys should probably, you know, check this out. So they, like, closed down the area. They got the snake. They never said, like, whose snake it was or, like, why the snake was going through security in the first place. I mean, is a snake even safe to go through an x-ray machine like that? Like, I don't know. It's terrifying, though. Snakes scare me, and it is a big snake.
Wait. So was it a free-roaming snake, like they left it on the chair, or was it in a cage or, like, a bag?
It's free-roaming, yeah. Oh. I mean, I'm looking at a photo right now of this snake on the ground. And it's slithering free as can be.
Wait, so it's just going free in the airport. This is my home now.
There's just like a snake in the airport, which is just unbelievable. And yeah, I mean, they said that they think it's a lost pet. But again, like, yeah, why are you taking your snake out of whatever cage it is? I don't know. People are crazy. Like, why are you traveling with a snake in the first place?
Well, maybe it was their support pet. I don't know. But hey, can't you tag?
That's true.
You can tag your dogs and your cats. How do you tag your exotic pets? Can you tag your exotic pets?
Yeah, I mean, if you remember on the show, maybe like a year ago, we talked about the emotional support peacock that they tried to bring on the plane. And so, yeah, maybe this was an emotional support snake. But obviously, whoever lost it, they were not being emotionally supported by the snake. So, I don't know. I mean, it's inconclusive. Or maybe it was just a snake that was trying to get on a plane and go to a different place. Who knows? Maybe it just snuck in.
Maybe it was really cold there and he was trying to migrate, right?
Yeah, exactly. Snakes are warm-blooded animals, you know? Snakes get wanderlust, too.
What do we get for number four?
We got Popeye's chicken sandwich. Popeye's is now in the chicken sandwich game. And obviously everybody is arguing about what is better between Chick-fil-A and Popeye's and Wendy's, which obviously Wendy's shouldn't even be in the conversation. But I don't know. I mean, first off, I didn't even realize Popeye's didn't have a chicken sandwich, so good for them for finally getting with the times. But I'm looking at it, and it just looks way too mayo-y for my liking because it looks like there's a slab of mayo above and below the chicken. And they've got the pickles. It kind of looks like the same setup that a Chick-fil-A sandwich would have. It looks more breaded and more fried and more mayo-y. So I think, I mean, having not tried it at all, just looking on aesthetics, that Chick-fil-A is still better. Because Chick-fil-A is just such a basic, delicious sandwich. I think that they're trying to do too many bells and whistles here in the Popeyes zone.
I'm not into Popeye's chickens. I know people are going to yell at me.
Oh.
I'm into KFC. And I'm like, how does KFC not in this race here? And I was a little bit disappointed.
I feel like KFC is just like, it's just so greasy.
What?
Like, that's why I like Chick-fil-A. And I'm not, as you know, I'm not the biggest meat eater on the planet. But like Chick-fil-A just feels just like a pure sando. It's not got all these things added to it. Like KFC is just, I don't know. It's got all those spices. It's got all the fried stuff. It seems suspect.
Okay, you're right. Chick-fil-A, if it comes down to quality, I think it's number one. But KFC, right. If you want some kind of junk food, I would say KFC hands down. It's over Popeyes
yeah.
Every day. I'm sorry. I need that grease, you know?
Well, there's a USA Today article, Battle for the Chicken Sandwich, where you can go vote, and they have eight different chicken sandwich people pitted against each other with like a bracket. KFC's on it. KFC's facing off against Bojangles in the first round, which I think should be an easy win for KFC. So
yeah.
I don't know, maybe get on USA Today's Twitter and go vote. Make sure your voice is heard.
For things that are really important, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
What we get for number three?
We got Matrix 4 and Spider-Man. We got some good Hollywood news coming at you. So exciting. We'll start with the good news first. And that's that Keanu Reeves will be back as Neo for the Matrix 4, which is very sick. And I'm obviously very stoked on that. Matrix is just such a crazy, like, that was like one of the first movies where you're just like, wow, I don't know what the heck I just watched, but it was insane. So, and obviously Keanu Reeves, nobody's hotter right now in terms of public perception. Everybody's stoked on that dude. But then we got the bad news, and that Spider-Man is now kicked out of the Avengers franchise because Disney and Sony could not agree on profit sharing. So they're just like, all right, fine, then Spider-Man's done. Like, Spider-Man's just out, which seems insane. I'm sure that you're probably pretty up to date on this because you love that type of stuff.
Yeah, Matrix 4, I was like, oh, it's because Keanu Reeves is so hot right now. I mean, everything Keanu's touching is just, yeah.
I know.
It's gold. So I can see why they're reviving the franchise. He does. He's golden. He is the internet's boyfriend.
Dude, once the internet decides they love you, I mean, you're just, like, same with, like, Jeff Goldblum, dude. Like, everybody just loves that dude. He can do no wrong. Same with Keanu. Like, it's just great. It must be really nice seeing Keanu right now. He's just walking on water.
Yeah, right? He's going to make millions. Kajillions off of this stuff, being the internet's boyfriend. I want to be the internet's boyfriend. Now, the Spider-Man one, that's kind of weird. So when it came to Sony and Disney trying to do the contracts, they were sitting there saying, Disney was like, hey, I want to go 50-50 this time. And Sony's like, ha, not going to happen. We're just going to pull them out the MCU. See you later, sucker. And that's what happened. And it's kind of funny. But what's strange is that they're going to have to reboot Spider-Man again because they can't make any references to the MCU. But Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, okay, how's this going to work out? Well, they have him for, I think, 2 more movies. So we may get a Spider-Man movie that's rebooted with the same cast. I think that's wild.
But they can do that?
I know, right? I guess they can. I don't know, but it's going to be really strange. I'm thinking they're going to have Tom Holland. He's going to do other movies, and they're going to recast Spider-Man. Because they did that before. Nicolas Cage, he had, like, I think a 5-movie contract with Disney, and it was supposed to be for National Treasure, and instead they threw him to, like, Sorcerer's Apprentice, and he did all these really horrible movies, and it was because he had to fill his, contractual obligations. So in this case, they may do the same thing, or they're just going to reboot Spider-Man with the same cast, which it's going to be really strange. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited. This looks like it's going to be a big mess, and I want to see it.
Yeah, I personally just could not care less at all, but yeah, I'm stoked that you're stoked on that.
Oh, thank you. At least you're stoked that I'm stoked. I'm going to make you love movies.
Sure. There you go.
What do we get for number 2?
We got the 1619 project, and so this is New York Times' kind of expose on the 400th anniversary of the first West African slave ship arriving in the United States, which happened on August 20th, 1619. And I would assume that most people in the United States probably don't realize that. So the New York Times did this really interesting, very big deep dive exploration, looking kind of at the complex legacy of slavery in the United States and how it has shaped the world that we live in today, like looking at, you know, the export of sugar and how different laws and different prison systems have been made based on kind of the introduction of slavery into the Americas back in 1619. So it's very interesting to look from a historical perspective of, like, wow, the stuff that happened 400 years ago is actually still influencing the lives of us today. And yeah, I would go check it out. I haven't been able to look at it all so far. It's also in the New York Times Magazine as well, if you kind of want the hard copy of it, but it's also on their website. And yeah, it's kind of just a bunch of different kind of like sentences and explanations on a variety of different topics, and you can link out, and it gives you kind of more of a deep dive into different things, kind of looking at, like, yeah, the wealth gap and sugar that I mentioned earlier. Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting stuff, and obviously very important to understand our nation's history.
So is this an essay form, or is, like, it's going to be in, how are they doing this, videos?
Right. It links out to different essays, yes.
Okay.
So the actual landing page for the 1619 project is, like, quick little explanations, and then it links out to different essays from different writers, and it has different quotes on stuff. But the project itself online is kind of like this interactive. You scroll through, it presents different information to you, and then you can click out to longer form pieces on the subject. So yeah, very interesting.
So it's part of like New York Times. It's not its own website?
Yes, it is part of the New York Times magazine, actually.
Oh.
So that's its own entity there, but it's also got the hard copy. Actually, search interest in 1619 Project hard copy spiked over 4,000% this week in the United States. So yeah, I'm obviously a lot of search interest in just in 1619 Project, because I don't think anybody really knew what that was.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Well, go check it out. So what do we get for number one?
Number one, the Amazon rainforest is on fire, and everybody seems to be talking about it, even though they didn't really, it seems like everybody's frustrated that they didn't know about it until like a couple days ago. They're like, whoa, what is going on? It's also crazy, like looking at the statistics around fires within the Amazon rainforest this past year. So based on information that was pulled on Wednesday, so a couple days old, but the National Institute for Space Research has detected 39,000 fires this year in the Amazon rainforest, which is a 77% increase from the same period of 2010. And some of those fires are deliberate. It could be like farmers clearing their land or like controlled burns of sorts. But still, 40,000 fires just in 2019 alone? Like, we're not even through the year yet. 40,000 fires. And now this is a really big one that's burning a ton of stuff. You know, everybody's obviously very concerned about that because the Amazon rainforest is huge. It produces a lot of oxygen. So, yeah, not a good situation at all down in the Amazon rainforest right now.
Yeah, clearing out your farmland and control burns, that's one thing. They do that in the forest preserves around my house. Those aren't bad. But in this case, is this particular fire, I mean, was this man-made and then got out of control? Or is it just like lightning struck and boom, it happened naturally and it's just burning like crazy?
I think that's some of the controversy going on right now, because Brazil's president is actually accusing NGOs of setting the fires after the government pulled their funding, but he has no evidence of such. And then other people are blaming him for kind of inciting these fires so that they can clear more land to do things like mining and farming and stuff like that, which obviously you shouldn't be doing in the Amazon rainforest, because we need that to be a rainforest. So yeah, kind of, it's not just kind of a natural disaster, but it's a politically charged one as well, as both sides kind of fighting over what the cause was and actually how to handle this situation down in Brazil.
So wait, are they trying to put the fire out right now, or is it just they're trying to hope it goes out?
I guess I don't know exactly a ton about the efforts that are going on right now, but I would assume definitely trying to put it out. It's pretty huge and it's burning tons of acres, so yes, I think that there are some significant efforts to try to damper the flames, but yeah, I don't know exactly how that's going. There's just not, that's the thing, is like, we're just kind of learning about this stuff, but it's been burning for a while, so I don't know, we're not doing a good job at staying informed.
Yeah, no kidding, because I was looking at headlines, and they're saying the controversy, it's climate change, and it's the right wing, it's the left wing, it's all these people, right. And I'm like, nobody's saying if they're putting the fire out.
Totally. I mean, it's probably pretty hard to fight fires when you're in the middle of the Amazon jungle, like, it's so isolated in there. So I'm sure it's a difficult fire to fight, but let's hope they can figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So for this week, what we get for the top YouTube video?
We got Motivation, the official video by Normani. First off, let me ask you before we go into this, do you know who Normani is?
It sounds familiar. I can't say I remember, but could she be part of another band?
I've never heard of her.
Really? I want to say she was part of another band. That name is very unique, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of the loop in terms of pop culture, but I haven't heard of her. First off, this song is absolutely fire. She wrote it apparently with Ariana Grande, and it's already got like 22 million views, which is insane. They just released it like a week ago, and it's just absolutely blowing up. The choreography is great. It's a little sultry, but man, they got some moves. The song is fire. And yeah, I guess if I haven't heard of Normani before this, I'm certainly going to hear more about her now, because yeah, this music video is great. Got a lot of 90s nostalgia there. You feel like it's like one of the old school music videos that you'd see back on MTV, but yeah, I'm a fan. Go Normani.
Okay, yeah, just looked it up. Fifth Harmony. I knew it. She was part of a girl group. This is how I know it. I like the girl group, boy group stuff.
There you go.
In Sync, We're not going to forget 98 Degrees or anybody.
Yeah, when was Fifth Harmony big? What was their heyday?
2012-ish.
Right. Oh, and Camila Cabello was in there. All right.
Booyah, baby. You're starting to remember.
Yeah.
It's coming back to you.
Cabello opened up for Taylor Swift during the Reputation Tour. But I don't know. Camila's all right. I feel like Normani's way sicker, in my opinion, based on the limited knowledge that I have so far.
Yeah, her voice is incredible.
Totally. Absolutely fuego.
Well, thanks, Justin, for joining me. I appreciate you being here, man.
Hey, always a pleasure.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.